warning. The Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not so fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We are on the Lord's team, the winning side. So raise your glass. I'm Adam Minahan, sitting in studio with my co-host, partner in crime, David Niles. Dave.
Present.
Thank you very much. And we have a great show for you tonight. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. When you did that, like, my whole thing just cut out. My whole audio just cut out whenever you moved like that.
What?
When you moved, my whole audio cut out. Anyway, that was weird.
Carry on, dude.
Okay. We have a great show for you today. This is going to be a really interesting topic. We have a ridiculous man gear, and we have a delicious scotch. So we're really excited about this topic, really excited about this episode. If this is your first time listening to the Catholic Man Show, we do three things every single episode. We're very predictable. We're men. We like systems. We like rules.
Structure,
okay. We like structure. So we're going to do three things, just like we do every time. Dave's starting us off. We open, review, and enjoy a manly beverage. We highlight a man gear is the second thing. And the third thing we do is we have the most manly discussion of all time. If this is not your first time listening to the Catholic Man Show and you have not gone on iTunes and reviewed us, I ask you to show yourself as an awesome person and review us on iTunes.
Correct.
iTunes is like a directory, so the more reviews we get, the more we pop up in search engines and things like that. I think we have a lot. I think we have like 103 last time I checked, which is very impressive.
So if you're one of those 103 people, go over to Facebook and review us there too.
Yeah, you can do that. So we would greatly appreciate it. That's one way you can help support us.
You can evangelize by rating the show.
Plant those seeds.
That's right.
Okay, so let's just jump into the man beverage because there's a lot to talk about.
Okay, so like you said, we're drinking a scotch. We haven't said it in a while, so maybe we should. Why are we drinking on air? We drink on air because God made the things of this earth good, and they should be enjoyed for their goodness. That's what we seek to do with the man beverage. Also, we realized at some point that it's easy to talk about moderation, but it's a better way to demonstrate it. It's better to demonstrate it. That's what I'm trying to say. So We try to demonstrate moderation here on the show, which we always do thus far.
So if you are not 21 years of age, we strongly discourage you from drinking since it's illegal.
What do you think about drinking at home? Like if you're 19,
yeah, and
with
your
dad, yeah, you know, and he wants to give you a little sip of... I personally have no issues with that. That's your dad's call.
Yeah, that's your dad's call. But follow your parents' rules.
Yeah, if your dad says no, then that's a no.
So
I can tell you right now, that's a cut and dry case.
Yes.
If dad says no,
it's over.
It's over.
Honor your father and mother.
Unless, of course, your mom says you can.
If your dad says no, go over to your mom and ask her.
Just kidding.
So let's cheer so we can get going on it. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus. Just in case, since we didn't say it yet, we're drinking the Ardmore today.
The Ardmore.
So recently, on our episode with Father Brian O'Brien on education, we had teacher's whiskey. And the Ardmore is the primary ingredient in teachers? Yep. So I had never had Ardmore before. Really like it, okay? Really, really impressed. This is a $30 bottle. I believe it was $29.99 at our local liquor store.
Okay, so on the nose for me, I get like this, a little cinnamon, a little hazelnut almost. Hazelnut. Yes, I don't think I've used that word yet describing a scotch. But it is. That's what I get. I get a little cinnamon, a little hazelnut. On the palate, I get a little bit of vanilla, a lot of oak. It's a very woody, or not woody, more smoky than woody.
Yeah.
A smoky scotch. And then the finish, you get just a very subtle hint of peat, but not much, in my opinion.
Lightly peated.
I mean, very light,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion.
It's more smoky than peaty.
Yeah, and it's not super smoky either. It's more of, I think I get more of the vanilla.
Mm-hmm.
I get more of the, a little bit of the hazelnut, the sweetness, the honey.
Sure.
I get like honey almost.
Mm-hmm. To me, though, it reminds me more of an Islay scotch than a Highland scotch. It's a Highland distillery. But when I think of Highland, I think of just like the caramel smoothness of some of those scotches, like the Glenmorangies and...
I think it's like out of its own, like it's not like the taste is like not either one.
It's kind of got the,
it's like right in the middle,
the sweetness of the Highland,
uh-huh.
but the a little, smoky, it's a little bit more on the aggressive side, which is sort of like the Islay,
right?
The Islay style.
No, I agree with that.
It is a blend. So it's a blend of a unpeated and a peated single malt.
So it makes sense.
Right. So it ends up being lightly sweet, lightly peated is what it says, with peat smoke notes. But it's really good for $30.
Yeah, and it's, you know,
this
what,
is a win.
And you know what? It does have a full body at the end.
Right.
Which I appreciate.
Nice long finish.
Yeah, it has a full body at the end, which, you know, a lot of times the cheaper whiskeys, they don't. And that's what like
right, yeah.
gets me kind of
yeah.
depressed.
Yeah, they're very
the
one dimensional.
Like, aw. Yeah.
It's weird to hear myself say that and mean it. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. But it is. I mean, it's true. But it is good.
Oh yeah, I'm a big fan.
I do enjoy it. They have one Ardmore. That's what's their higher end? What's it called? Do you remember?
This is the only one they had at the store, so okay. I didn't see any others.
There's another one. I can't remember what it's called, but I think it has a red label. It's,
okay,
it's supposed to be really, really good, but I think it's more in the $60-$70 range.
Yeah, I rarely venture there. You know, there's just so much, especially these days. I don't know if my horizons have broadened in scotch, or I'm just going to a better liquor store now than I was in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like there's a lot of scotches specifically in the $30 range than there was 4 or 5 years ago. At least I've certainly become aware of them. And I doubt that they're really new, because none of these
right.
distilleries are really new. They're all like, super old.
Yeah, they don't pop up out of nowhere.
Right, yeah, exactly. But... There's a lot in the $30 range that are very good. You don't have to spend $60. I used to think that you get, you know, that a bottle of scotch was about $60. That's just what you're going to spend.
Mm-hmm.
Nay, not so.
Well, I mean, our Laphroaig is only like 40, 45.
40, 44. Yeah, $44.
Well, it depends on where you are.
What I usually pay. I don't pay more than 44. I refuse.
But, and that's one of our favorites, so.
Yeah. Anyway. Ardbeg's, I think, 46 for their 10-year.
Dude, I have a short in my headphones.
And you were blaming it on me.
Well, when you moved, it did, actually. But
you probably, it was your fault.
It is my fault, I guess. Anyway, it keeps cutting out on me, driving me crazy. let's talk about the Councilman really fast. We didn't do that last episode. And it's just continually picking up.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
No kidding.
So the Council of Man are guys who want to donate $10 a month to help support the Catholic Man Show. We have a lot of things that we would like to do, a lot of things that we're trying to continue. We have a special project in the works. We have a lot of things that are coming up, and it's only because there's men out there that say, hey, I want to be a part of this venture of promoting the lost art of virtue. Mm-hmm. Back into this culture.
Right.
And I need other men to hold me accountable. I need other men to be there with me. And so they donate $10 a month to us. They are now in a community of men, like-minded men, in a private Facebook group and on our webpage specifically for the Council of Man. You have to have a username and password to get into. We provide extra content to them. We engage with them a lot on Facebook. We send them a sweet Glencairn glass. What else do we do, Dave?
I like just being part of that community, Facebook community.
Yeah.
That we have going on. That's really my favorite thing. And there's some like big time celebrities in there.
Big time.
Patrick Coffin.
Yeah.
Bear Wozniak.
Yeah, Bear's in there.
The Catholic imagery guy.
Yeah, Scott.
I don't know if he wants us to use his name.
Scott.
Scott's there.
Andrew DeJoseph
is there.
Anyway.
There's several Davids.
Yeah, several Davids. So anyway, if you would like to be a part of it, we sure would like to have you there.
If you're wondering, if you're on Facebook and you're going, where has all the masculinity gone on Facebook? I tell you where it is. It all went to our private Facebook page.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Because all things manly are happening there.
Yep.
And so now I've heard reports of a manly vacuum taking place on public spaces in Facebook. Right, because it is wow. Congregating around our page.
That's impressive.
It is. It's a beauty. I'll tell you what, it's a beautiful thing to behold.
And it's science.
This is science. It's math. I don't know. Just add it up.
So we would love to have you. Go check out our new website, thecatholicmanshow.com. If you'd like to have us at your diocese, get in touch with us. We'd love to maybe come out and talk to you guys. Maybe have a live recording.
Also, we're going to go camping. Come camping with us.
Oh, yes. Yes, October 19th through the 22nd at Clear Creek Monastery. Check out our Facebook page and our website. It has more details there. When we get back, we're going to have a ridiculous man gear, courtesy of the David Niles. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Show. I'm David Niles. In studio today, we're about to get to the man gear. Let me just tell you something about today's man gear. It has absolutely nothing to do with the topic. That is a fact.
However, if you can link it, let us know.
Oh, I could come up with something dumb. I'll do it if you want. On the show, I'll do it when we get to the topic. But it is totally not have anything to do with it. In reality, it's just something that needed to be done. Okay?
That you're itching for.
And I think when we tell you what it is, you'll understand. And you'll say, you know what, Dave? You're right. I don't know what took you so long.
Thank you.
Yeah. I've been waiting over here. I've been holding my breath.
Mm-hmm.
I almost died. And really, if you've been doing that, that's impressive. It's been a while.
Yeah.
The man gear for today is a flamethrower. Yes, that is actually what the man gear is. That's not is like that a like, sarcastic thing that I'm saying before I tell
like
you what the...
Is that like a good flamethrower noise?
Sure.
Kind of?
Yeah, I feel like it's in reality probably like a spray sound with like a, yeah, some fire.
Something like that.
I don't know, maybe that's too rocket.
Maybe too combustion-y.
Yeah, that may be too like rocket sounding.
Yeah.
Maybe they sound the same.
I don't know.
I've never actually used one.
I haven't either.
But
I'm glad you haven't, actually.
I did discover something about myself recently.
Okay.
That if I'm in possession of a flamethrower, an unlimited supply of duct tape, and a sharp pocket knife, I can literally do anything. Literally. Period.
I don't believe that, but that's
it's
why.
True. It's something I have come to know about myself. Like I said, I've never tried it, but needless to say, it is a fact.
Okay, I disagree.
So the flamethrower, a little history on the flamethrower.
You have history on the flamethrower?
Oh, yeah.
All right, I'm interested.
Okay, the flamethrower, the first person to ever use a flamethrower was St. Michael when he was throwing Satan down in hell. Who do you think lit that lake on fire? Okay, it was that guy. And ever since, the flamethrower has been the epitome of manly stuff. Okay?
Did his flamethrower come from his sword? Like, come out of his sword?
Is it
a multi-weapon?
You know how, like, an interesting thing about St. Michael is you never see his back in any of the pictures. He's actually wearing it. It's like attached. You know, he's got that like
sweet like breastplate.
Breastplate, yeah. It's on the back of the breastplate, okay. On like a hinge.
Ah.
Sort of like shoulder cannon.
Okay.
It's pretty epic.
All right.
When he shoots his though, it doesn't go. Goes. Ah!
Wow.
You can Wikipedia that. I actually have no idea where it comes from, but it is awesome. Okay. I've had a running joke with my mom, which is...
Shout out Anna Niles.
Yeah. It's not as cool because it's my mom, but not that my mom's not cool. My mom is totally cool, but, you know, like, not cool when you have inside jokes with your mom. I mean, it's cool. It's just not very, like, something you brag about among your manly friends. My mom and I have so many inside jokes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But this has been going on for years, and it's been such a frequent occurrence that it has become an inside joke, where we'd be doing something, just whatever it is, day-to-day stuff, mm-hmm. and I have just naturally said over and over again, if we had a flamethrower, this would be a lot easier. And so that's the joke now.
Can you give like a couple examples?
Sure. The leaves, okay? You're raking leaves, stupid. Flamethrower.
Just burn it all.
Yeah. You need to sterilize something, flamethrower. There's a lot of...
Controlled burns.
Right. Exactly. Trying to start a fire?
Got it.
Flamethrower. Yeah. You want to take the paint off of a metal wall? Flamethrower.
I don't advise that at all.
I mean, like, it's a metal wall, okay?
Hopefully it's thick enough.
Maybe outside all by itself.
Yeah, okay. All right. Fair enough.
You can't think of any good uses for a flamethrower.
I mean, not practical at all.
Really?
No.
All right. Well, guys, I want you to go to our Facebook page and post the most practical use for a flamethrower that you can think of.
Yeah, because I'm calling... when you told me this, I was like, all right, well, this is going to be your man gear then. I'm not doing any research on this one.
But this is something that I think... This is an experience that is common among all men. Every dude, at least every dude in the first world, has taken a can of hairspray and a lighter mm-hmm. and flamethrowered.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels so good.
I have done that.
Yeah. And don't you feel like...
I used to do that to all my G.I. Joes and just watch them melt as a kid.
See,
slow burn plastic.
I'm yet to actually destroy anything with a flamethrower. And I say yet to. I guess that means I will
there's
someday.
There's still time.
Yeah, there's still plenty of time. So a bunch of our people in a Council of Man page, when they discovered my affinity for flamethrowers, they started sending me videos about how to build one. And I actually gave it some very serious consideration.
Mm-hmm.
I looked.
You told us that one of the last episodes.
I looked through the video, and I said I can do this,
dude. You know what we need to do? This is totally not related to the topic at all, but it just popped in my head. And sometimes, like when we're on the show, it's like, oh, I got to remember to do this, and then you forget.
Yeah, I hate that.
So we need to make sure we do this, even though this episode is airing later than what we're actually recording. It's a little later. Our buddy, best friend, Juan Posada, and his wife
mm-hmm.
just had a brand new baby boy.
John
Paul II. So cheers to John Paul II.
May you be equal in holiness to he whose namesake you are given.
Cheers, my friend. And I'm the godfather.
Yeah,
I'm the godfather.
Yeah, dude.
That was terrible.
That's pretty cool.
That was terrible.
It's okay. People get it.
Yeah.
People get it. I need to go and rewatch that.
I do too.
It's been a while.
Maybe I do. I don't know. That's probably one of those movies that's like, oh, that was so awesome. And then you go back and watch it and you're like, ah.
Yeah, maybe. There's only one way to find out though. I'll bet you anything, if they had flamethrowers, they would have been like, these are awesome.
Yeah, probably so.
You need
probably
to get,
mass destruction.
You need to get rid of a body? Flamethrower.
I hope that's never the case.
I mean, there could be a real reason why you had to do that, but it's going to be pretty out there.
Yeah.
I mean, it involves like stranded in the wilderness, attacked by a rogue person who's, you know.
And the real question is if you're stranded in the wilderness, how did you get a flamethrower and why are you not out of the wilderness?
Because you brought one with you, obviously.
Why are you not out of the wilderness? You have a flamethrower.
Well, you mean like just burn it all down?
Yeah, just
get out. There's no wilderness left?
Yeah, get out.
I'm not sure that counts as getting out of the wilderness. That's something different. Get the wilderness out of here.
Well.
So.
Anyway, we're digressing big
time. A flamethrower is essentially.
If we have three people listening, I'll be impressed.
Okay. I'm going to listen.
There's one.
Do I count?
Barely.
So flamethrower. Obviously a weapon.
Yes.
Think about how cool it would be on the 4th of July. Flamethrower.
How could that be cool?
What? Are you serious?
You would end up like blowing up everything all at one time.
No. Oh, I don't mean to light the fireworks. You are the firework, dude. You have a flamethrower. Just like, whoo, like just arcs of fire across the sky.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you sit there and watch and be like, dude, that's
definitely
awesome.
I would definitely watch.
Oh, I want to do it so bad. I have to do it. I have to build one.
Pamela's
gone for 2 days.
Yeah,
I'm at home all by myself.
So you might as well. Like, these are one of those things that I really want my neighbor to have.
Yes.
You know, like a boat.
You get a boat, I'll get a flamethrower.
A pool table.
I'll make you a deal.
You know, those kind of things. It's like, I really want Dave to own this so I can go over and use it.
And a pool.
A pool.
I tell you what, I'll do
hot tub.
I'll do the flamethrower and the pool table if you do the boat and the pool.
Pass.
What?
Hard pass.
Oh, that's rude.
That's fake news.
You know what I do to fake news? Flamethrower.
Oh, man. Okay, so I don't really have anything else to say about the flamethrower, unless you do.
You want me to try to tie it to our topic?
Yeah, I'll be interested to see if you can do that. Our topic.
Let me do it in the next segment. Let me think about it for a second.
Yeah, I figured that's probably what you needed. Our topic today is going to be one that a lot of men can probably relate to. In fact, I think all men can relate to it.
I am almost sure of it.
Yeah. The topic's going to be bad language.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cussing, swearing.
Moderation in your language, essentially.
Yeah. Modesty in language.
Mm-hmm.
Is really what it is.
Yeah, modesty is, you know, moderation of dress.
Yeah.
Modesty,
moderation. Well, not necessarily, but modesty can be a lot more than just what you wear.
You're right.
So.
Modesty and moderation are, like, essentially the same thing.
There is differences, but.
Yeah. Modesty is, in my opinion, having moderation of whatever it is you're doing.
Yeah, I don't have the catechism in front of me or anything. Like,
I could be totally wrong about that.
Yeah.
I'll just admit it.
So. Anyway, that's what we're going to be talking about.
They just feel very similar.
In the next segment. And I'm really looking forward to it because there's going to be a lot to say because I think a lot of men struggle with it. I think that there's a lot of, well, obviously there's a lot of bad language just out in the public in general.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's going to be like, it's hard to get away from it. You can't get away from it. So,
not really, no.
So it'll be interesting.
Disclaimer, flamethrower is an outside tool. It is not an inside tool.
And if you needed that disclaimer, then maybe you should be a little more cautious listening to the Catholic Man Show. We'll be right back, guys. Hang in there with us. This topic will be worth it. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Letting you guys enjoy the bumper music, because I always do. Welcome back. We are drinking a little bit of The Ardmore. It's called The Ardmore, not just Ardmore.
I know, not Ardmore.
It's The Ardmore, which I think is pretty cool. It's a Highland single malt Scotch whiskey.
It's probably because that's their staple.
Yeah, probably.
This is the Laphroaig would be their 10-year.
Right. We just got done having a ridiculous conversation about a flamethrower, which I'm glad that you guys stuck around
It needed to be done.
I know. I'm glad, like, it was an itch that you needed scratched.
Yep.
And I'm glad we did that. We got that, checked that off the list. And now we get to get into what I was really excited about, which is the topic pertaining to moderation or modesty of language, mm-hmm. particularly men and using cuss words.
Right.
Curse words. So I think the place to start, Dave, let's start here.
Okay.
Let's distinguish between types of cuss words.
Okay, that's a good place to start, I think.
I think because I have a feeling that we're not going to be talking about one as much as the other.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Just go ahead.
Okay, okay, so there's, you know, one type of cuss word, which is, you know, taking the Lord's name in vain, which is, I think everybody knows what that is. It is strictly prohibited in the Bible. It's a Ten Commandment. And so using those words in any circumstance is not okay.
Right.
And, you know, if you really think about the essence of that word, when you're saying God blanket.
Or Jesus.
Yeah, or you're using the Lord's name. Mm-hmm. In an instance, it's not in a prayerful sense. You're literally calling down something that is so holy onto something that is not holy. Odds are.
Presumably.
And then there's words that are outside of that, which are a lot of cuss words that are not taking the Lord's name in vain.
Yeah.
So I think that those two need to be distinguished. And I do want to start out by quoting Matthew 5, chapter 5, verse 10. It says, "It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a person."
Mm-hmm.
So what you say, everything you say is going to be held, you're going to be held accountable for at the end.
Right.
God gave you this time. So everything that you say, everything that comes out of your mouth, you will be held accountable for.
Yeah.
The good and the bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I have a feeling that we're going to be more talking about the latter of the two.
The secular cuss words.
The secular. Yeah, that's probably a good way to put it.
Yeah.
The secular cuss words. Because I think that everybody understands. Oh, okay. Before we do, though, I think everybody understands that it's wrong. Taking the Lord's name in vain. Yeah. I think everybody gets that. Everybody that listens to the show.
Intrinsically so.
Correct. Okay, so I do think, though, we do need to distinguish that if you've gotten into a habit of saying this, you're not as morally culpable of it because it's a habit.
Right.
It is still it's still a grave matter, but you're not morally culpable as much as if you know about it, think about it, and still say it.
Yeah. But confessing the sin nonetheless is a good way to help get over it.
Absolutely. And now that you've heard this, you're not ignorant of the fact that this is something that you have to work on.
Yeah.
So. And when we use foul language, we are making, some people say we're making a mockery of God's very nature as the Word. You know, in John.
Right. In the beginning was the Word.
Right.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I think that we need to, now that we distinguished kind of what we're talking about,
mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the secular cuss words, if you will.
Yeah. And, you know, I think, typically using all of the cuss words, whatever they are, whatever this bad language in general that's considered vulgar, is such a cop-out. And a gentleman, let me just say this, a gentleman doesn't do it. It's a lazy way of saying something that's passionate very often when there is a much better way to say it. Whatever it is you're feeling, using vulgarity is such a cop out instead of, you know, a gentleman would more eloquently speak his piece.
Well, it's almost more like it's more like, you know, remember, I don't know if you were like this, but you know, like when you got to maybe late middle school, eighth grade, maybe a freshman in college or high school, and you start like learning what the cuss words are, and like all of a sudden you're like inputting these cuss words to make you feel like that you're, you know, this adult, or like that you're, you know, like you're inserting cuss words. It's like, that didn't even make sense.
I feel like you know what the cuss words are in kindergarten. You're just afraid to use them. And you don't use them until you get a little older.
Yeah. And it's like you feel good about it. But like, that's extremely childish.
Yeah.
You're trying to create this persona that you're old. it's like this paradox. Like, you're trying to create this persona that you're old and distinguished and mature, yet it is an extremely immature, childish thing to do.
Right. And I think it's important. This is a big conversation because it's so contagious. It's infectious. When you're using vulgarity, the people, I know this happens to me all the time. There's a couple guys that I work with. You can't have a conversation with them without them, you know, dropping the F-bomb and, you know, about nothing. You know, they're not even angry. You know, it's just, it's like
just a part of their language.
It's this adjective that they just use that doesn't mean anything. And then if I talk to them, it's happened to me before where I just catch myself starting to use this, you know, language, and I have to stop myself and like, whoa, where does that come from? I haven't said that word in years. And I realized, oh, well, I've been hanging out with people who have been using this. And so it's very important. You know, we have to talk about brotherhood a lot and the duty we have towards the brother next to us.
Well, and you know, it's a great opportunity to be a witness because, you know, As a Catholic man, as a Christian man, you're sticking out like a sore thumb. You should be, because this society today is very anti-Christian, very anti-Catholic, and so by being Catholic, you have a spotlight on you. People are looking at you. The way you portray yourself in public, people are watching. That may be what Catholicism is all about.
Right.
And so by engaging in these words or partaking in language that others around you are, that it sends a signal to them like, this is okay, this is acceptable. And a lot of times these words are very degrading. You know, they're degrading words to certain people, especially women. You know, you can use these words to degrade women. And like we've said on the show many times, but it cannot be said enough, as JP2 says, it's the duty of every man to uphold the dignity of every woman.
Right. Oh, I mean, I think it goes without saying, cussing in front of women and children in mixed company, as they say, is, that would be strictly against the gentleman's code. A gentleman never does that. And I think today, that doesn't really make sense to us. You know, I think we've lost that. I know we have. Our culture, society has lost the sense of respect, especially for women.
Without a doubt.
And that's, I think, in large part due to the feminist movement that,
well, I think,
you
that,
know, women, you know, they want to be men, essentially.
Right.
Liberal feminism, or, you know, whatever they're calling themselves
faux
these days.
Faux feminism.
Right.
I hope that catches on.
But they should be respected.
Well, at some point, you know, back in the day, like if a young man, you know, the son cussed, and it was in front of the mom.
Right.
He would get more in trouble at that moment for cussing in front of his mom than actually cussing.
I agree.
So I think that, you know, it's easy to say, right? You know, when we're in society, like, oh, don't do this, don't do this, and like, you don't want to also be you don't want to be considered or labeled a prude.
Well, okay, I'm glad you said that, because that's kind of the conflict I have inside of me about this topic. I'm really not sure what the answer is here. So I'm glad that we're having this conversation, because I don't really know the answer. Because on the one hand, it's like, you know what? This is not beautiful language. And as, you know, a Catholic man, I strive to uphold the true, the good, and the beautiful. But on the other hand, I'm not a prude. Okay. And I'm not offended by your use of the word, you know, it's not like, oh, how dare you say that, in front of me. And there's something about it, like when guys are together, that almost like they have their own language, you know, that this is something, oh, it's just us guys, right or wrong, whether this is a good way to achieve this end or not, it does kind of build up this brotherhood between us that, you know, like, oh, it's just us guys here together. Now we can, you know, behave a little differently because we are here with just each other. You know, almost like you're part of the, you know, this is the club activity. There's something there. You know what I'm saying?
I think, though, you can achieve that sense, that camaraderie, that brotherhood togetherness.
Right.
Without that.
Well, no doubt. Because another thing you could do is, like, you could all go off and kill people. You know, that could be your brotherhood thing, but right. That doesn't mean that
it's good or that you should do it.
And it might actually promote a brotherhood between the people doing it.
Right.
You know, a bond.
Right. But we're looking for that authentic.
That doesn't make it good, right? So that's the question is, but there's something there, you know, that, and maybe that's just part of the culture, that, you know, that's my own concupiscence.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, that's maybe why, you know, there's a slight attraction to that. Oh, it's just guys. Like, let's loosen up a little bit.
Yeah, and I find
who cares?
I find it's a slippery slope because, like you said, it's contagious. So all of a sudden you do it, then he does it, then he does it, then all of a sudden I'm telling a dirty joke, and then it escalates very quickly.
Good point.
So anyway, when we get back, I want to continue talking about this. I want to talk about a study that I found also put out by Neuro Reports about this topic. Hang in there with us. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass to John Paul II.
If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. That's James 1, verse 26.
That speaks pretty heavy.
Think about that. Your religion is worthless if you do not bridle your tongue and deceive your heart. So if you, I've heard it basically summed up. If you think you're holy,
mm-hmm.
but you're using, you know, if you can't bridle your tongue, you're deceiving yourself.
I think that sometimes that you know, we talk about self-mastery all the time, and on the Catholic Command Show we're talking about, you know, moderation and drinking and self-mastery, you know, working out and, you know, getting up early, you know, and all this other self-mastery stuff,
right?
I think that this one's probably the most practical, most practical, and one that you can do every single day.
Yeah, and maybe one of the harder for, so it's gonna be person to person.
Tough.
If this is something you struggle with, this is going to be hard for you.
Right. Absolutely. And it was hard for me. Like, you know, I used to, use profanity in college. I was using profanity on a regular mm-hmm. basis. The way that I started, like, realizing is, like, I just got to stop talking as much. That's how I kind of stopped. It was, I realized, like, when I was going to say something, I realized maybe I should wait and think this through.
You can just shut up.
Yeah, you can just shut up.
Okay, so I used to be a lot more loose with my language.
Mm-hmm.
What did it for me was my wife.
Mm-hmm.
When I was dating her, I remember there was a point where I probably said, you know, damn it or something. And she looked at me and said, can you please not say that? And I just like, oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't. Never, mm-hmm. like, never did again.
Right.
Because my wife is one of those people who is, like, very innocent.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Yeah. Like, she always has done the right thing her whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was a huge, huge inspiration to me in so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when we first started dating, and it was just like, wow, I didn't know someone like you existed.
Right.
And it was a big wake-up call for me that, yes, you actually can live a holy life.
Yeah.
Don't give me this crap about, like, oh, everybody goes through it. No, that's not true. You can raise children who seek the Lord all their days.
Right.
Can be done. My wife is one of them. But anyway.
I want to touch on this report, this study that was done real quick, because it, mm-hmm. it touches on, I think, what a lot of guys can relate to as far as, like, oh, well, cuss words make me, like, when I get hurt, my instinct is to cuss.
Yeah, there is power in them, some kind of power.
Right. So Neuro Report put out a study they did on college students where they immersed college students' hand in ice-cold water and made them hold it there.
Mm-hmm.
And half the subjects could scream out profanity whenever they wanted to. The other half had to just chant or say, like, a neutral word, scream out neutral words. And it was reported that 67 students, which they didn't tell me how many students they started out with, so I don't know how many, but yeah. 67 students reported less pain and on average endured about 40 seconds longer in the ice water than those who did not cuss. Which is interesting because it says that unlike normal language, which relies on like the left hemisphere of your brain, explicitives hinge on evolutionary and...
Expletives?
Yeah, what did I say?
Explicitives.
Oh.
Expletives.
I'm sorry.
That is kind of a tricky word.
Thank you. Hinges on evolutionary ancient structures buried deep inside on the right side of the brain.
Really?
Yeah, which is really weird. And so they're saying that, you know, you're using the right side and compared to the left side, which is, you know, how we normally use our language. But then they go on and they basically contradict themselves this whole, like at the very end, in my opinion. At the very end of this case, it says that you have to be careful because they found out that swearing can be harmful because it escalates violence, especially physical violence.
Mm-hmm.
When used inappropriately.
Yeah.
And then it says, the more we swear, this is, and I'm quoting from this study, it says, the more we swear, the less emotionally potent the words become. And without emotion, all that is left of a swear word is the word itself, unlikely to soothe anyone's pain.
I don't think that's a contradiction. I think they're just saying that, well, you know, they do have this effect, which according to this study, they do. And I think that's true. I think...
Well, but there okay, is... but it's not the cuss word.
No, but it's
the emotional attachment to the cuss word. So it's not the word itself. The word itself could be anything.
Well,
if
right.
you're grown up with whatever word.
Well, it's not the word because every language has different you know, they all have cuss words.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I know, I mean, there's maybe some languages that don't have them, but they're all different. But it's the idea of the cuss word. You know, this something
it's an emotional thing.
Yeah, so there's some taboo behind it.
Right. I'm doing something I shouldn't be doing or
right.
whatever.
Yeah, but there is a power in them. I've seen a study, it's not really a study, but I've heard someone talk about a study. So it's hearsay, but I think it's probably true that
and it was on the internet, so
right. And Facebook.
Right.
That
and
people,
you shared it and said amen. So
there
it's
go.
Continually going.
There you go. And where there are two or three gathered. So,
something happens.
Right. But what they said was that people who die in like violent like accidents or falling
mm-hmm.
off a building,
mm-hmm.
that their last word is at a very high percentage a cuss word. So that would kind of make sense. That
I hope that's not me.
I know. That's what I thought.
I don't want my last word to be a cuss
no,
word.
No, me either. But it would make sense if that's the brain like... trying to go into survival mode, knowing that, oh, this will help you endure whatever is about to, you know,
right.
to come. I mean, so I don't think those people are really...
But I think the key is you can train yourself to have that emotional tag to some other word that is less offensive.
Sure.
Okay, so let's talk...
I would like to have seen that study also done side by side with people who were praying.
Oh yeah,
or meditating.
Yeah,
while their hand was in the.
I mean, obviously they would do a lot better.
I feel like that. I feel like yeah.
I mean,
if you're sitting there contemplating the passion while your hand's in the cold water, I think at some point you're going to forget about the cold water.
Right. Okay, so let's talk about. I think you had a great remedy for this. We were talking about this on the Council of Man page recently, actually.
Yeah, yeah, and someone was asking, you know, for some advice from the guys about how they have gotten over this. And
yeah, using profanity.
Yeah, using profanity. Because it is, for a lot of people, it's a habit that...
It's
not a choice that...
Right.
It's not like they're saying, I'm going to use cuss words today.
Right,
you know?
Right, right.
And this is a sales tactic that I got about how to stay motivated at work. But I think it helps motivate you to do anything that you want to do. Anything hard. If you have a family, especially if you have small children, this is where this really plays the biggest impact.
Mm-hmm.
What was told to me is that you go to your kids and say, hey, listen, if daddy can hit his sales goals for the year, then we're going to go to Disneyland. I'll take you to Disneyland. Well, I'll go if I can hit all my sales goals for the year. That was just the example given. Obviously, those must be good sales goals
yeah,
that
you
you're going to hit.
Very,
right.
But very good sales.
If you know that your kids, you know, are counting on you for something that they really want to do to hit your sales goals, you're going to do it. You're going to find a way to do it because you do not want to let them down. Mm-hmm. So with this example, you could go to them and say, hey, because if this is something you struggle with, your kids have heard you do it. Okay, you think that they haven't. They have. They know you use that language, and they're going to start using it as soon as they can.
Right. Without even knowing what it means or what, you know.
Right. They know dad says it, so right. I'm going to say it.
Right.
So you go to them and you say, kids, if I can go all week without using any bad language, we're all going to go get ice cream on Sunday after church. And you've got to go to your kids on Sunday and say, kids, I'm sorry, we can't go to ice cream because I let you down.
Eesh. But you feel like 3 centimeters tall.
Yeah. Do that. Let your kids down a couple times. See if you keep using that language. I mean, that's a pretty strong proactive stance.
I also think that, and I agree totally. I think that that's like a probably the best example I think that I've heard at least on how to conquer using profanity.
And you can do that with anything you struggle with.
Yeah,
as long as it's appropriate for them to know it's a struggle of yours, of course.
Yeah, without yeah.
Prudence.
Yeah, prudence.
Flamethrower.
I also think, though, who you surround yourself with, we always talk about brotherhood, but this is one that brotherhood plays a big factor into. Because when you and I were battling this, you know, we were trying to conquer this, you know, making sure that we are not loose-lipped.
Right.
You know, when you're around somebody else that's like, I know he doesn't appreciate this. I know that, this is not good. You watch what you say.
Right, yeah.
So I think that it's very important to surround yourself with guys that will help you achieve this.
Yeah, and so what do you do if you've got a buddy who's using this language? What do you...
I think it's tough. I think that's a tough... Like, I think you have to approach them at some point.
Well, I think it depends on your relationship.
Yeah, and where you are.
Yeah, and you got to handle it right. Because you got to handle it like a man. If he's like, hey, would you please stop using that language?
Right.
That's not going to go over well. Just be like, hey... Why don't you come up with something more creative to say?
Yeah, I think that's probably a good way to do it.
Are you just not smart enough to use better words?
Right. Better word. My words are great.
Listen.
I have the best words.
I have the best words.
I have all the best ones. I use them right here.
They're very expensive. They're shiny. You could never afford them.
But I'm very, very successful. So I think you have to just make the decision and then stick to it no matter what. You know, a man's word is worth something. So stick to it. And then remember that someone is watching you at all times, and you're responsible to set a good example as Christian men. That's how I want to leave.
I'll just throw this out there. I don't think Jesus used cuss words. That's a pretty strong argument.
Thanks, guys, for tuning in. This is the Catholic Man Show. I'm Adam Minahan, sitting here with David Niles. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.